But right now I want to welcome Ben Mansky to our program. He is Executive Director of the Liberty Tree Foundation for the Democratic Revolution. He's also coordinator of the group Wisconsin Wave and a former national co-chair of the Green Party in the United States. Ben, thanks so much for being here with us tonight on Counterpoint.
Well, I'm very glad to join you.
Appreciate it. You know, we've been covering in various ways through the last couple of months all the inspiring activism of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people all over Wisconsin in the Middle West resisting the agenda, the very conservative agenda, gutting the rights of workers, really attacking the backbone of the middle class in several states, but certainly Wisconsin being ground zero. We've been following with a lot of attention, and again, taking a lot of inspiration from it. Ben, as we begin, just tell our listeners a little bit about the groups that you work with, Liberty Tree Foundation, as well as Wisconsin Wave.
Absolutely. Liberty Tree is a national strategy center that happens to be based here in Madison, Wisconsin. And we've been working since 2004 to put the pieces together to build a genuine, broad-based, deeply rooted movement for democracy in the United States. And basically, the work that we've done has extended all across the country, working to democratize defense by bringing the National Guard home from Iraq and Afghanistan, working to mobilize people to prevent stolen elections at the federal level. We've been instrumental in building the Move to Amend coalition to overturn Citizens United. And listeners, if they haven't already gotten involved with Move to Amend, you can check it out at movetoamend.org. But, of course, Liberty Tree is based here in Wisconsin, and it was very clear to us that Wisconsin was going to be ground zero. That was clear even last fall when you had incoming Governor Scott Walker basically start to gut Wisconsin's progressive tradition. He basically signaled that he was going to be shutting down our renewable energy programs in Wisconsin. He turned away nearly $1 billion in federal aid to high-speed rail. And so we knew there was going to be a struggle coming. We didn't realize it was going to come that fast. But we started to prepare, and we built this very broad-based movement in Wisconsin called the Wisconsin Wave. And listeners can go to wisconsinwave.org and read all about it. It's not only based in the labor movement, but also has very strong participation from family farm organizations, from students both in K-12 and also in higher education and the technical and community colleges and the UW system. You have community advocates, people who are struggling to protect funding and fight the corporatization of Badger Care and Food Share, which really are relied upon by 1.2 million people in the state. So we've basically been building this coalition, and we were, to some extent, ready on February 11th. We didn't know there was going to be an attack on collective bargaining, but we knew there was going to be a fight. And we were, to some extent, ready for this struggle, and that's one of the reasons why you saw the protest take off so quickly.
Thanks for that, Ben, the kind of foundation of what was built there to meet the crisis when Governor Walker executed his agenda there, his extremist agenda. Ben, you know, the nation's attention, you know, in some ways, and certainly I think media ignored a lot of the important stories coming out of Wisconsin during the peak of the protests, but I think... We've seen this time and again in the U.S. corporate media, but once the tens and hundreds of thousands of people left the sidewalks and the steps of the Capitol building there in Madison, Wisconsin, the TV cameras were shut off. The reporters put their pens away and packed up and left. But what we really want to do is get an update on some of the important struggles that are continuing there in other ways, you know, other than the massive demonstrations that we see build day to day.
Yeah, let me just jump in there. Let's be clear. The protests haven't stopped, and in fact, in some ways, they've escalated. The media did pack up, and they left town in terms of national media. But we have had protests in the tens of thousands since the largest protest, which was 175,000 by the highest count. I mean, how do you beat that in a state of 6 million? But when Sarah Palin came, she was outnumbered at least 10, maybe 20 to 1 by counter-protesters. We've had people's assemblies meeting across the state of Wisconsin, taking a cue from the people's assembly movement in Europe and in North Africa. where people have been getting together and basically laying the groundwork for a new state constitution here in Wisconsin. You've had direct action step up in a big way. So you've had home reoccupations with the Take Back the Land movement in Wisconsin. You've had the banks targeted directly. You've had student sit-ins and administration buildings around the state. And actually, this coming Saturday, we are gearing up for what we expect to be the largest protest in some time for the 14th. And in some ways, now I know why Ralph Nader isn't able to join us here, because he'll be there with you in his home state. But this is going to be very exciting. So really what we're doing this coming Saturday is showing that when we choose to turn out the tens of thousands, we have the ability to do that. Most of the activity, though, as I said, has been with the direct action, and also with these recall campaigns that have been happening around the state. The Republicans in Wisconsin are starting to run scared because something has happened that has almost never happened in the state, which is citizens have been able to go out and get these tens of thousands of signatures in various Senate districts to recall sitting incumbents. So those elections are going on right now, too. And, of course, we're in the middle of this Supreme Court fight in which a very, very progressive lawyer, Joanne Kloppenburg, brought an incumbent justice, a very partisan guy, David Prosser, to a 50% dead heat. And we're still in the midst of the recount in that Supreme Court race as well. So Wisconsin's still in the thick of it, and it's really important for people around the country, around the world, to know that we're in the thick of it, that we're actually still winning, that the collective bargaining legislation is on ice, that it has not gone through, that it's been tied up in the courts, and the Republicans don't seem to want to bring it up again, and we're trying to encourage them to leave it there, and that we continue to need support. We've received a lot of volunteers from around the state, around the country, and lots of people have been making contributions. So certainly that's something we would ask for listeners to do, is to go to Wisconsin Wave and to make a donation to help us out.
And that's wisconsinwave.org, right?
That's right.
Okay. Ben, I've been reading about, and I know many of our listeners are well aware, that the recall elections are going forward, as you discussed a moment ago. Recall elections are scheduled for 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats this summer. If the Democrats win 3 more seats in the state Senate, they'll then control the Senate and can block some of the legislation that Governor Scott Walker has on his agenda. The reaction to that, I've heard, is that Scott Walker and his administration are pushing up their timetable for getting passage of various planks of their legislative packages. Tell us a little bit about what's happening now with the rush to enact various pieces of legislation by the governor.
Well, I mean, the governor came out of the starting gate at top speed, and so they already have done a lot of damage. They did a lot of damage ahead of February 11th with so-called tort reform, basically protecting major corporations from people they've harmed. They got that through. They've been rushing through voter ID legislation. Wisconsin has had some of the most progressive voting rights law in the country for generations. They're trying to undo that by making it much harder for people to vote in this state. But I will say that despite the fact that the governor is pushing as hard as he can, because he sees that there is not a light at the end of the tunnel for him, but maybe a wall at the end of the tunnel, he is getting slowed down a bit. I mean, the voter ID bill, which is going to a vote in the state assembly tomorrow, is very different from what they originally introduced. And I think that what you're seeing is that there are Republican members of the legislature who are looking at those recalls and also looking at, for example, a special election that happened in a historically Republican district outside of La Crosse in the far west part of the state, in which a fairly progressive Democrat was elected in this special election. So they're looking at that. They have their own agendas. Not all of them are crazy. Some of them have roots in the old Republican Party in Wisconsin, and we only need a couple of them to come to their senses. So I think that, you know, certainly they're pushing very hard right now. We're pushing back, and I'm very optimistic.
Ben, what are the chances are that the Republicans, the party of Scott Walker, will lose control of the state Senate when these recall elections go forward this summer?
Well, I think the chances are good. The momentum is still entirely on our side. You know, the governor can't go anywhere without getting protested. He tried to do a fishing photo op in northwest Wisconsin the other day, and people went out there in boats and surrounded him with signs. The momentum is very strong right now, I think, for the broader progressive movement. And one thing that's kind of unique about where things are in Wisconsin right now is that you see this real sense of a broader movement that's it's beyond elections, beyond partisan politics. As you said in your introduction, I'm a former co-chair of the Green Party nationally. I actually ran for state assembly this past spring, past fall, and basically pulled a lot of Democrats away from their own nominee in that race. And yet you see people working together across party lines very effectively. So the question will be, what happens if and when the Democrats take back the Senate? Will the progressive wing of the Democratic Party still find itself in the driver's seat? Will the broader progressive movement, unions, environmental movement, student movement, farm movement, community organizers be in a position to continue to push forward? Or will the one or two Democrats in the state Senate, who we know to be problems, will they find that they want to work with the other side of the aisle? And it's going to be our job to make that impossible for them.
We're speaking with Ben Mansky, Executive Director of the Liberty Tree Foundation for the Democratic Revolution and coordinator of the group Wisconsin Wave. Ben, you mentioned earlier the election for state Supreme Court judge that has gone into a recount, pitting conservative David Prosser, who's the sitting judge in the Supreme Court, against his challenger, Joanne Kloppenburg. Just a couple of hundred votes separated these two when the polls were counted up initially, with Kloppenburg, the challenger, more identified with progressive politics, winning. But then all of a sudden, in Waukesha County, thousands of votes were discovered, uncounted, and giving Prosser a 7,000 vote advantage, something like that. This vote count has been challenged, and there's a recount going on, as I understand it. But fill our listeners in on what's at stake and how this process is moving forward.
Well, what's at stake is that you have a Supreme Court that is nominally nonpartisan but which definitely has various justices who represent different interests. And in terms of that balance, you have four justices who generally favor corporate interests, and you have three who generally stand on the side of the people. David Prosser is one of those incumbent conservative pro-corporate justices. Joanne Kloppenburg is somebody who definitely comes out of the progressive movement. I mean, she was attacked for that in the campaign, was actually attacked for donating money to my campaign in the course of the campaign by her opponent. And so this would be a major shift in terms of the balance on the court. And then, of course, it's important because everything Scott Walker is doing, from our point of view, runs afoul of numerous elements of the state constitution, also equal protection, due process guarantees at the federal level. So the Supreme Court in Wisconsin is pivotal. What has happened with the recount is that despite pressure from some, frankly, within the Democratic Party, the Kloppenburg campaign went ahead and filed the recount, is moving ahead, and we have found this past Friday, due to volunteers who've been following the recounts in various counties, that there have been numerous problems around the state, as we expected. And in Waukesha County, lo and behold, we had literally thousands of votes in ballot bags that were unsealed. In other words, that the chain of custody had been broken in the cases of these votes. And so the recount continues. There are observers who are following it day in, day out. And it's really essential that that we continue to receive support for our efforts to turn out volunteers. There's a recount watch button on the Wisconsin Wave website that listeners can check out.
Well, thanks for that, Ben. So this, some of these laws could be challenged, such as the gutting of collective bargaining rights on the part of unions. If the legislature should pass it again, that could go to the Supreme Court, and this race, in determining this race for this judge, either Prosser or Kloppenburg, could determine whether this thing passed muster in the Supreme Court.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, David Prosser, the incumbent justice who risks losing his seat on the court, he's a chum of the governor. You know, they go golfing. They're buddies. So really, the outcome of this recount is quite important. I will say that that there are literally tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin who understand that the outcome of a particular election, whether it's the Supreme Court race or any of these recall elections, is not the whole game. That what we need in Wisconsin and around the country is much more substantial, deep-rooted change. We need to fundamentally change our election laws in the United States. We need to get rid of this ridiculous doctrine that corporations are persons protected by the Constitution from government regulation. There's a lot of very deeply rooted campaigns that we have to win. And so, you know, we are fighting each of the individual battles in Wisconsin, and we're winning many of them, but we're also in it for the long haul. And one thing I want to do before I have to go is invite listeners to come to Wisconsin in August. We're actually hosting a national convention, a democracy convention here in Madison. Very excited about it. And you can check out all the details at democracyconvention.org. That's something that's been in the works for a while. But and it was going to happen here anyway, but there's been, of course, a greatly increased interest in it nationally because of what's been happening here. So that's democracyconvention.org.
Well, you know, we'll have you back to talk more about that because we'll like to preview it well in advance of people making their summer vacation plans. That sounds like a good thing. Ben, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned briefly a new state constitution. What kind of old molds are you trying to break there in Wisconsin with a new state constitution?
Well, you know, Wisconsin has some elements of the progressive tradition. We were home of the progressive wing of the progressive movement. So we do have direct legislation, that's to say the citizen initiative process at the municipal level. But unlike many progressive heritage states, we don't have it at the state level. We have a state constitution that at the time it was first adopted in 1848 was quite radical. The second paragraph of our state constitution is the abolition of slavery and the nullification of the Fugitive Slave Act. But our state constitution has not been renewed in any significant way over the last 150 years. So we believe in Wisconsin, and we believe, I think, certainly nationally with a move to amend efforts, that we have to engage regular people, our neighbors, our friends, people we haven't met yet, in a process of developing a new constitutional agreement in the United States. That we can't let the basic law of this country be determined in the courts, that the courts are not to be trusted with that sacred task, and that we have to engage regular people in reconstituting this country. So we've been talking about constitutional reform here in Wisconsin and certainly moving to amend the U.S. Constitution as well.
Thank you for that. You know, I just have one quick question to ask you, Ben, and that has to do with political culture. Across the United States, one of the things that really holds people back from getting active in politics in this country is a long-standing cynicism that you can't fight City Hall. And certainly in the wake of the Supreme Court ruling and Citizens United, there's a feeling that, hey, corporations rule this place, and as a citizen, you're powerless to challenge the powers that be. And I'm wondering how you feel the events of the past few months in Wisconsin have changed, if at all, the political culture in Wisconsin, where people feel they are empowered now, and they can fight City Hall, and they can win.
Well, I think that the events in Wisconsin may have changed the political culture nationally. And in many ways, I don't think it changed the culture here at all. And I have yet to meet anybody in Wisconsin who thinks that this is so surprising. I mean, we're obviously enthusiastic about it, and we've never had protests on this scale in this state's history. It's unprecedented. It's hard to even describe what it means in a state of, again, 6 million people to have this kind of level of mobilization. However, this is a state where our state's identity is closely tied to the history of the progressive movement. This is the state that was the home of the radical abolitionist movement. This is the state that gave rise to the Socialist Party, to the Progressive Party, to the La Follette tradition in Wisconsin. The Earth Day was founded here. The Green Party actually has some of its deepest roots in the early 1980s in Wisconsin with the American Indian Movement, with Treaty rights efforts here. So we have a heritage in the state that is closely bound up in our identity. It's almost like a national identity in Wisconsin. We're like Mainers and Vermonters in some ways like that. So I think what happened is that you had an attempt to impose an agenda on Wisconsin which was so foreign to the majority culture here that there was an incredible backlash, and it wasn't hard to mobilize that. Just as in the same way when Joseph McCarthy infamously took office in the late 1940s, it was actually Wisconsinites who took him down. He didn't last very long here. So I guess what I would say is that for those who are listening in New England and in the Mid-Atlantic states and in other states, look to your own state's traditions. Look to the great progressive history that you have, and especially in the New England states, and stand firmly about that, or stand firmly on those traditions, and make clear that, that you actually represent what's best about the American tradition, and that you have legitimacy to challenge what City Hall may be doing, that they're the ones who are out of step with the arc of history.
Well said. Ben, thanks for all that you do there in Wisconsin. We'd love to have you back to talk about the Democracy Convention coming up in August. And it's wisconsinwave.org is a good place for our listeners to check out the actions there, right?
You bet.
Okay.
You bet.
Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk again soon, Ben. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Ben Manske, Executive Director of the Liberty Tree Foundation for the Democratic Revolution and coordinator of the group Wisconsin Wave. Again, that's wisconsinwave.org.